take me to that point that I got rid of everything in this life, that all I focused on was Him and His presence and His glory. And I think that's where He wants us to focus on. This is where this is going to go. So we're going to go through the Scriptures, go through the Word, and then we're going to practice it. Okay? We're going to practice. We're going to do like three different steps. Now, God isn't this is a step process. You got to do these steps to get into His presence. But this is according to what Jesus was saying, you know, about praying to our Father. And then, about entering His presence with thanksgiving and praise. So the steps are that we enter in through thanksgiving, then praise, then worship, and then adoration. So that's where we're going to end up. At the very end, what we're going to do is we're going to each go around and praise the Lord, give Him a thanks offering, give Him a praise offering for who He is for us. And then we're going to go into a song. We're all going to worship the Lord together in a song. It's going to repeat twice, or once. It's going to repeat once, it'll be twice. And then we're going to, at the end, I'm just going to play some fine music. We're going to keep our eyes closed, and we're going to listen to the Lord. We're going to end up listening to the Lord. And that's going to go for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. So it all depends on what I sense that the Lord's doing, okay? So don't speak through that time. That's just, have everybody open to that time to hear the Lord or see what the Lord wants to show them. Because God has something for each of us.
Amen.
But I'd like to open up in prayer tonight. I know Ben needs a job.
Yes.
And Pastor Melody, and elaborate, but I know he has a family meeting, so I really feel we need to pray into that too.
Yes.
And is there any other prayers that we need to pray into tonight?
My daughter is having surgery tomorrow.
Okay, what's the surgery?
Adrian,
okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you, Father God, for this time we're together.
And you are bigger than
what we are. Thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this.
So we call Adrian out, Lord, and we speak health and healing to her. We speak peace over her situation.
Yes, Lord.
And you would guide and direct the physicians.
Father, thank you.
Just establish the right way.
Yes,
God, all the things that happen.
Smoother recovery,
and medicine, Lord God. Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank you. Amounts of
everything. Someone want to pray to Ben?
Father God, we just pray, Lord, your provision upon Ben's life.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God.
Father God, we thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord
that you
Jesus.
Do orchestrate our steps.
Yes.
And Father God, we thank you. You are the God of provision.
Yes, you are.
And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've had provision before there was a realization of the need for it. Father God, we thank you. Your word says, Lord, if we would seek first your kingdom. In your righteousness, you said, everything else shall be added. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that peace that goes beyond understanding can rest upon our brother, upon his family, his household. We thank you, God, that they shall be blessed, and that shall be not one thing lacking. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father God, we pray that, Lord, for that provision. We also pray, God, this would be just such an amazing time. Lord God, of just being caught up in a great rendezvous with you.
That's
Lord
Jesus.
God, that
would further
strengthen the family. Lord, increase their faith, Lord God, and just, Lord, just being the lifter of their head.
Yes, Jesus.
Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I pray that Pastor Mel and this family there.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We just lift up Pastor Mel and the family,
yes,
Lord.
Jesus.
We just pray that whatever the situation is, that you would impart wisdom,
yes,
that
Lord
you
God.
Would impart grace,
yes,
and
yes.
that your peace will be upon them,
Amen.
Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Father God, we just speak to
yes,
the
Lord.
Situation. We speak life and wholeness, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, we just speak divine
yes.
wisdom.
Thank you, Father God.
And
wisdom.
Father, we thank you for your grace. And your ability
yes,
to discern
yes.
and to walk through
yes,
together,
Lord.
Whatever it is.
Yes,
and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, I agree with Terry. I also pray redemption, Lord.
Yes.
I just said the word redemption. Bring redemption, Father God, into this situation.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Can I get prayer for my healing and my house to be restored?
Yeah. Father God, we pray, Lord, for Deborah. We thank you, Lord, for her attitude. Your Father, even though she went through a hard time right after surgery with his water leak, I thank you, Lord, that you're working everything
yes,
out for good.
Yes. Yes.
And we praise you, Jesus, that you are in control of even the circumstance.
Yes.
And that you are in control of Deborah, and that you already have touched her. body, and that you're going to continue, Lord, in a rapid healing, dear Father. To anoint Debbie, dear Father, with your, let her be endued with power from the high. Let her be, Lord, just at peace, dear Father, with everything that's going on, even though around her seems to be in turmoil, but Father, you are in charge, and so we rest in that assurance, and we rest in that peace.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen.
Can I get a picture of everybody?
Sure.
I'm excited to see everybody.
Lean in.
Everybody smile. Thank you.
Let's pray for you now.
Okay.
Father God, we just pray right now, Lord. Father God, as he just begins to share, Lord, that which you have placed within his spirit. Father God, we pray that may the spirit of wisdom and revelation continue to flow forth through him. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this prepared vessel. Father God, we pray that we'd all have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. Lord, that we'd have hearts receptive and ready to receive, Lord God, just the rich deposit of your word. And so, Father God, we just speak blessings over our brother. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your presence in this midst. In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Amen.
So the Lord told me when I was finishing preparation today, he said, I want you to beware. I want you to make sure that the Holy Spirit is acknowledged during this meeting. So that's what I'm doing. I'm acknowledging the Holy Spirit. He is here.
Yeah.
And everything that is we're covering tonight is Holy Spirit inspired. And so we're going to go from there.
All right.
But like I said, we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. It's going to take several weeks to do this. And we're going to just do this first segment tonight. So, but we're going to read the whole Lord's Prayer tonight. So Matthew, if you can open up to Matthew 6, verse 5 through 14. And if someone wants us to read that out loud, I'd appreciate it.
When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, don't use repetitions like the heathens do. I think they will be heard for their many words. Where am I reading down to?
Down to 14.
Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows what the things you have in need before you ask him. This is a manner of prayer. Prayer there. In this manner, pray therefore. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, power, the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. So we're gonna cover tonight, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. We're gonna focus on who God is. I like what Bill Johnson said, and this pretty much wraps up the whole motivation for our lesson tonight. He said, any revelation from God's word that does not lead to an encounter with God only serves to make us more religious. The church cannot afford form without power, for it creates Christians without purpose. In this present hour, we need much more than to learn how to identify our personal gifts or discover ways to be more successful in ministry. We need the Father himself. We need his presence. The gospel is the story of the Father wooing hearts of mankind through his love. All the other stuff we do overflows from that discovery. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be wooed by God tonight. Mm. We're going to come to know His presence, and we're going to put everything else aside. Okay? So first we're going to go over some encouragement scriptures about prayer. If we can start, Bev, if you can do Hebrews 11:6, and then John 15:7. Hello. God bless you, brother.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. You coming in?
I'll just
give you some hi. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Drayton.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Drayton. All right, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, nice to meet you. What's your name? Dre. I'm Christine.
Every time I see a young man or young girl, I'm going to pray the Father's blessing on
them. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Drayton.
Drayton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you can believe.
We thank you for Drayton, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just confess your blood, Jesus,
yes,
that cleanses, that heals, Lord, by the stripes you see.
Thank you, Lord.
And his heart is yours, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just rest upon his being.
Thank you, Father God.
And you would guide and direct his steps, Father God. You would keep him in your care, Lord.
Yes.
And you would prosper him and make him in good health, Lord. And all that he sets his hands to do, you would prosper, Lord. That all he does, Lord, would be before you, Father God. That he would look to you, Father, and console of you, Father, and counsel of you, Father God. That you are his Father God. You love him. And we thank you and bless him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hello.
So where do we stop at, Ben?
Well, I think Mom needs to read Hebrews yet.
Well, I'm just passing out scripture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then...
Yeah,
you got John 15.
Yep.
And then, Terry, you have Psalms 37, 4 through 5.
Okay.
And then...
All right,
love
we'll
you,
see
buddy.
You
about. Be blessed.
All right.
Have
all
a good night.
Nancy, you want to do Micah 7:7?
Sure.
And then, let's see, Pastor Luke. Actually, John 4:24 is right there, Pastor Luke. Yeah, it's right. So you can do that one then. And then Psalms 104. Yeah, that one. And let's see. Do I have Matthew 7:9 blank on that? Okay.
7:9.
Yeah. So, Krista, if you want to do Matthew 7:9-12. And Scott, Matthew 5:3-10.
Yes, sir.
And we'll stop right there. So, go ahead, Beth.
Okay, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Okay, so I believe that God hides himself. I believe that he doesn't just give himself out like 100%. I believe that he wants us to seek him out. Like gold. Mm-hmm. Like gold is sought out. He puts gold in the earth and you have to actually dig for it. I believe he wants us to seek him out. And he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So whatever we put into it, we're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. He promises us that guy. He will reward us abundantly if we diligently go for him. And so that's what I wanted to bring out in that scripture. So John 15:7.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Okay. So the two different things. So Jesus has to abide in us.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't be a religious Jesus. It can't just be a thought. It has to be the actual person. Jesus has to abide in us, his
mm-hmm.
spirit. And his words also have to abide in us.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at TV a lot, if we're reading books from other people, if we're not in the Bible, then his words aren't abiding in us. So we have to devour the word. We have to read it and just read it and get into it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what the word says to us specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing on that. The Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said to them, you think that salvation is in the scripture, and it's not. Salvation is in Jesus. So when we read the word, unless we're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, and we meditate on that He gives us revelation knowledge of something, or something just pops out at us, mm-hmm. that's to draw us near to the Father. That's to draw us near to Jesus. That's an awakening word for us that the Holy Spirit is working. And that's what He means. If it leads us to the Lord, to the Father, then His word is abiding in us.
Amen.
Psalms 37, 4 through 5.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act.
So delight ourselves. It can't be something out of structure. It can't be something out of I have to do this. Because this is what my pastor says I have to do. This is what my church says I have to do. Mm-hmm. It has to be an inner delight from our hearts. Mm-hmm. We delight in the Lord. We want so much to run to Him every day. We want so much to know who He is. It's when we come to Him, everything about Him is delightful.
Amen.
So we have to change our mindsets too. You know, sometimes we think of God as this being way out and, you know, trillions of light years away. And we're down here struggling, and He comes down and thumps us over the head. No, we have to see Him as His. The Bible says that His glory fills the whole earth.
Amen.
His presence, the whole earth and universe cannot fill His presence. And He wants to abide within us. He is a loving Father. So He wants us to delight, just like a young child delights in their mother or father. He wants us also to delight in Him. Okay. Micah 7:7.
Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
What does that mean to you?
That means he knows everything about me. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what I need. He's always there. He's just ever present. And I know that I have enough faith that I know when I talk to Him, He hears me. Mm-hmm. And He's going to answer me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Luke, John 4:24.
Okay.
Is that board up there?
I'm so sorry.
Nobody
getting over it.
Yeah. Nothing into it. So we're not sorry. I have to be careful because my nose wants to bleed every time.
Most assuredly, I say to you, as unto who hears my word and believeth in them who are sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So God is a spirit.
Yes.
And we worship Him in spirit and truth. So there's two things there, spirit and truth. So there's some churches that are over here, strictly truth. No spirit, no Holy Spirit intervention, nothing out of the, this is what I can grasp, this is what I can understand. And then there's the churches over here that are lacking truth and are just like going wild and having a heyday with the Holy Spirit, and which is great. Both of them are excellent. What we're going to do is bring them both together.
Yeah.
Okay? So, spirit and truth. And I just want to go over to our brains here for a minute. Some of us are left-brainers, so that means we're very into like the books and strict understanding and low emotion maybe. And then there's the right-brainers. Usually they're more women, but the right-brainers are into the flowers, into design, into music and imagination. Okay? God made both of them. He gave everybody a right and left brain. Mm-hmm. Some are dominating more in one, or others are dominating more in the other. But He wants us to use both those brains to bring about this spirit and truth.
Amen.
Okay? So when we sing, we activate the right brain, and then that's what brings us into the Holy Spirit to bring us into truth, or bring us into a worship of the Father. And we're using both of them at the same time, so we're using the Word of God, so we're thinking on the Word of God, mm-hmm. and we're also using the music, we're using imagination to come into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
So God made us body, soul, and spirit, and that's the body part, and then the spirit part is what we connect with the Holy Spirit to bring us to the Father.
All right.
Okay. So, Psalms 100, verse 4.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
Okay, so the Word gives us a understanding of how we get into the God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the Moses in the wilderness, and how they built the ark, and how they had a systemic, they had to do this, and then do this, and then do this, and then do this in order to get into God's presence. So that's what the Bible is saying for us. If you want to get into God's presence, be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Come before him with thanksgiving. And also praise him. Praise his name. Praise him for everything you can think of. Praise him for who he is. And that's pretty much what we're focusing on. Like, praise him for who he is. And give him thanks for what he has done. Not just for everybody, but for yourself. And we're going to practice that here in just a little bit. Matthew 7, 9 through 12.
For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will you, mm-hmm. your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets.
Okay. So, I was praying that several times at my lowest point, when I was saying, Lord, your word says this, if a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? And God, I know I'm asking you for you. And I know you're not going to give me anything less.
Come on.
So that's, according to your word, I'm expecting, I want you. And I know you're going to give me something good. You're not going to give me something evil.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
Okay. Now, for the next segment, Matthew 5, 3 through 10.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm sorry. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you. Yeah. And I have to quote Bill Johnson again. I apologize for that, but when I was putting this together and the Holy Spirit was working through different things, I was reading also this book because I'm using this book for the next session as far as Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Heaven Invasion of Earth.
I love that book.
I'm reading it now.
Oh. I love it. So yes. Good.
My favorite author.
Yes.
I was reading through that. I'm picking
That's
up.
Awesome.
It's confirming what I was experiencing and what I wanted to bring out tonight. So what he was saying was, the Sermon on the Mount reveals the attitudes that help his followers to access his unseen world. As citizens of heaven, these attitudes are formed in us that we might fully apprehend all that his kingdom has available. The Beatitudes are actually the lenses that the kingdom is seen through. So if we have pride or bitterness or whatever of the world, we're not going to be able to see God. We're not going to be able to experience the kingdom of God. And I really experienced that when I was laying on the floor just crying out to God. I felt that poor in my spirit. I felt that I had nothing to offer. I felt that if I didn't get God and more of him, there was nothing else, I felt that poorness of spirit. And I think that's where he wants us to be, that poor spirit. And it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's interesting because that's when he opened up the vision of me in heaven. And I just thought that was pretty cool how he did that. And then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So the more we hunger for God, the more we're going to be filled. And again, when I was sitting at that table with the Lord, and he said, here's food, you know, take anything you want. If you haven't heard it, it's online on the church's website. Take anything you want. And I just remember, God, I was so hungry. I'm just so hungry. I felt so hungry inside. But I didn't eat anything off the table. It was just I needed them. I needed the Father. I needed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you will be filled if you hunger and thirst. And also the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have a pure heart to see God. And if we don't have any of those things, and there was times where I didn't have any of those things. There's times where I was in pride or arrogance, maybe. I thought I could do it myself. You know, I thought, whatever. Jesus can give us a poor spirit if we ask him. He can make us hunger and thirst for righteousness if we ask him. Mm-hmm. And he can give us a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him. So I just have a couple of things about poor spirit there. Being poor is to have a very little of a particular substance or quantity. I am in great need of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We value his presence above anything else. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We value his presence above anything else. I am desperate for him. That's a poor spirit. I'm desperate for him. If not, ask the Father, he will give it. That's what he's talking about. Pure in heart. It's unmixed, unadulterated, unblended, uncontaminated, refined. When Jesus takes us through those really tough, hard times, he's refining us. He's refining our heart. And if we get bitter and angry, our refinement stops. If we release it to him and take on his grace through those times, the refinement gets more pure and better.
Amen.
If we have to be clear from lingering sin, and then in Psalms 51 it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a loyal, right, steadfast spirit within me. I pray that many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
The more we worship from a pure heart, the more our eyes will be open to see what he wants us to see. And then Psalms 24. Chip, do you want to read that one?
Psalm 24.
Psalms 24.
Okay, 24. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Now who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
So what does that mean, going up to the mountain of the Lord, and he who has clean hands and a pure heart?
Well, I'm not quite sure, because I'm thinking of Moses went up to the mountain. It's talking about seeking, is really what he's talking about. He's talking about going up to the mountain. You know, Abraham went up to the mountain. He went to sacrifice Isaac. So there's a. I wonder if it is a geographical. You know, I wonder if there is a geographical side to that. You know, because they had to go up those mountains. You know, and when Aaron was buried, Moses and Aaron had to walk up on the mountain, and Aaron died on the mountain, and they came back down. So in all those cases, the people were seeking, or at least they were being obedient to God, and then that by walking up to the mountain, that showed that they're obedient and they're seeking after what the Lord wanted them to do.
Okay. So again, I think God keeps himself hidden at times,
mm-hmm.
so that we
mm-hmm.
press in. Mm-hmm. So that's the mountain of the Lord. When we press in to find the Lord, we're going up that mountain in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. We're going up that mountain to find the Lord. Mm-hmm. Although the Lord is present and His Holy Spirit is within us, and the Holy Spirit can instantly bring us toward the face of the Lord.
I think of a pure heart as someone who is, they're seeking the Lord, yes, but their life is laid down before the Lord. They're not seeking to be someone that the Lord has not called them to be. They're not envious of other people's giftings. They have no bitterness. They're not resentful or bitter against anyone. They're willing to go unnoticed and do the work of the Lord. Just, it may be a person, I think one of the most pure people would be an intercessor that no one sees. And yet, they see the miracles happen, but they take no credit. They come forth with no words. They're just hidden, and they're doing what God has called them to do. And they're just obedient and laid down before the Lord. That to me would be a pure heart.
Good. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Good.
In connection to the purity of heart, I think it's interesting that the first part of the chapter is very clear that you're separating yourself from all other idols, and you're going up the mount, the hill of the Lord, which is the indication to Him that you're being a pure heart. You've put yourself before Him in a sense. Mm-hmm. However, on the other half of this chapter, it's interesting to see how then you're being told to lift up your heads, you know, mm-hmm. because the King is coming in,
yes.
and because it represents that dynamic of after that relationship is clearly established, there's an even greater depth to that relationship.
Yes.
I see that in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying that, Ben, I was seeing the prodigal son. The father didn't go out to look for the prodigal son, but when the prodigal son came back, the father ran to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
Very good.
That was all Psalm 24.
All Psalm 24, yeah. The whole chapter.
Make mention of
Thank God it's
all
the
of
shorter
that,
one.
Yeah. Got all that.
Yeah,
did
you
take
know,
the
short
hand? It was beyond
24. No, that's just one of the shorter ones.
Okay.
Well, I was going to make just some mention on the clean hand that I was meditating on it. You know, I was thinking about how David, in Psalm 23, in the chapter 4, how he talks about sitting at the table of the Lord. You know, actually, he says, the Lord, how He presents a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking practically, I mean, we know this culturally that you don't sit at the table to eat without washing your hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the reason is that you don't want to contaminate what's being presented to you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to mishandle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, so I believe that prophetically, with coming with a clean hand is that, you really, how are you presenting yourself? Not only, of course, your heart as far as how you're postured, but all of yourself from the outward to the inside. And how that God, you know, He's looking to clean not just the inside of you, but all of you. And so I was just thinking of how that, when we sit at the table of the Lord, it's really powerful because at the table, you don't just eat, you don't just, like David says, taste and see how good the Lord is, but this fellowship at the table, which reinforces that place of prayer and in union with the Lord. And so, but there is a protocol in how you approach the table. You know, we've all practiced this, you know, and it's amazing how that, how we present ourselves unto Him. I mean, God, He's presenting what's pure and holy before us. And so when we come about pure and holy before Him, it's a beautiful yoking together of now being able to receive, okay, Lord, what is it that You have for me to partake?
Mm-hmm.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking of communion.
Yeah.
When we are at the table, in our mentally is a picture of being at the table, and how the scripture admonishes us to check ourselves before we come to the table to partake with the Lord.
That's good.
Amen. Thank you all. The last thing on the Sermon on the Mount is hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Is our heart so filled with things of this world that we have no hunger for the Father? And I was there. I mean, my job, my career, you know, different things. I knew I needed to have the Father. I read the Bible. You know, I did what I was supposed to do at a church. But Have I really had that relationship with the Father? Was He everything to me? Was I hungry for Him? And if not, that's okay, like I have here. God will give you that hunger and thirst for His righteousness if you ask Him for it. None of us are too far.
With that statement, I often pray for different people that God will give them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. You know, you ask for that for yourself.
Yes.
And I do too, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I see that lacking in another person, I ask the Father to create within them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness.
And, you know,
and a hatred for evil.
And that's amazing too. Yeah. A lot of times when we're hungering for the Lord, I think it's the enemy too, because we feel like we're so depleted, like, oh God, I'm not up to par yet, I have to really strive to get to that place. But Jesus, He says, blessed. If you're finding yourself hungry, you're count yourself blessed.
It's a sign of a healthy body.
Mm-hmm. It's a sign of a healthy body. And count yourself blessed, because when you're hungry, you know you're going to do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know you eat whatever and anything, you know, just to fill that appetite. And so, absolutely.
Sick people usually don't have an appetite.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And dying people, which my mother went through, they don't have any desire for food.
Yeah.
So if you don't have any desire for the Word of God, you're dying spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, sick.
Okay, so now we're going to go into the Our Father, which hallowed be your name. We're going to talk about some names of God. And there's a listing of some names of God there. And when you're praying, if one of those sticks out to you, that has been what the Lord has been to you, you can acknowledge that. I like Yahweh, you know, the Lord Jehovah. He's our banner, Jehovah Nissi, which means His banner for us is love. The Lord that heals, Jehovah Rapha. He is there, Jehovah Shammah. He's our righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu. Lord who sanctifies you, Jehovah Mekadesh. That's it, Mekadesh.
That's a big one.
He's there better than me.
These are all Jewish names.
Yeah.
But He does, He sanctifies us. He's jealous over us. I think it's called Kwana. He will provide, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. So those are some names of the Father, and you can just speak those names to acknowledge who He is when you're going before His presence. He loves to hear you talk about who He is in His name. Okay, who's next there? You want to do Romans 8:5, 15? I'm sorry, Romans 8:15. And then Irene, Psalm 96:9. I think we've got some more yet. Genesis 3:8. Bev, you want to do that? Genesis 3:8. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 33:3. Ben?
Sure.
I think that's going to be...
Revelation.
Yeah, I'll just hit the little bit on that.
Oh.
And then Psalms 23. Carrie, you want to do that one?
Okay, good. I'm just happy to be stuck at Psalms here. My page won't turn.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at the names of the Father. We're going to look at who the Father is. So this gives us a mental, we're going to use our right brain, a mental imagination of who the Father is. Mm-hmm. So we can think about that. And when we're praying, we do that. We think about the image. And God gave us that ability to image. And then that image will bring us into His presence, and He'll reveal more and more to us. So Romans 8:15.
You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
And what does that mean to you?
He's our everything. Mm-hmm. He's our Abba, Father. He's everything, and we have to look to Him as being our everything if we ever want to have Him in our life. We have to totally focus on Him. Forget everything else.
So He is God Almighty.
Amen.
But He's also our Father. Amen. He's our personal Daddy God. Okay. Psalms 96:9.
Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth.
The beauty of holiness is what I want to pull out on that one. So when we're looking at Him, we're looking at His beauty.
Yeah.
He's a very beautiful person, very beautiful God. Jesus is very beautiful. I hear people when they see, sometimes they see visions of Jesus' eyes, and it's just love, just permeating love. So God is beautiful. His presence is beautiful. His holiness is beautiful. And what the Holy Spirit added there was, we become holy as we dwell, look upon, and meditate upon our Holy Father. Sometimes we just can't do what we need to do. We can't become holy in ourselves. We can do what the Word tells us to do. We can follow God's Word. But as we dwell in His presence, as we look upon the Father, as we meditate upon Him, as we sense His holiness, as we sense His cleanness, it becomes ours.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes ours. When I was sitting around the table with the Father and Jesus, as I held their hands, just like, oh man, it felt so good. It just feels so good. It feels so good. It was just coming, you know, right through me. And one day I had this on the tape, but I was sitting in my chair and my feet were propped up and with the socks on, and Jesus said, take your socks off. And I did, and I felt Him just rubbing my feet, and then He kissed my feet. He said, your feet are clean.
Wow.
And they're pure. And I could just feel that cleanness and that pureness just coming up through my body.
Praise the Lord.
So, and that was His. That was His cleanness, His purity.
Yeah.
So that's what the Father wants. He wants us to have experiences with Him. Okay. I'll let you guys read Revelations 1, 10 through 18 on your own at home. It's Revelations. It goes through how Jesus was. His feet were bright. He was like the brilliance of the sun. John said he saw him, he fell as dead. But Jesus said, do not be afraid. He's the living one. So Jesus is like, no. Jesus, his hair on his head was white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like blazing fire.
Mm-hmm.
His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Are you getting like a mental picture?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Jesus use stories in the Bible to give us a mental picture?
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting a mental picture here. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. His right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. When I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. I hear of people that see the Lord, and he's so great and so awesome that it just sucks everything out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't experience that. I experienced something different. I experienced him like we are here, you know, like personal, like one-on-one. But every time I get a little closer, a little more, he reveals a little more to me, a little more.
Amen.
I did see his face. It started at his feet. I just was laying at his feet, kissing his feet. See, Jesus, this is all I do the rest of eternity. That's all I want to do. And I was in his lap. And then next thing he was holding me. And next thing I looked in his eyes and I saw eternity through his eyes.
Wow.
So he just gives us a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
But the more we desire, the more he'll give us.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Okay. Genesis 3:8. Can I give that to somebody?
Okay. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
So what's that saying about the Lord there, Ben?
Well, here it says that they heard the sound of the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in the wind or the breeze. I'm reading what's in the center.
Okay.
God was searching for them. God came after them.
Hmm.
And so they wouldn't have hid had they not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties in with what we read before. There's a due order for being in His presence. There's something that He requires. It was a whole lot in the Old Testament with the priests. I mean, that's why they tied the thing around them. They'd pull them out dead if they went in there and they were unrighteous. So, I mean, even though it's not like that today, because of His grace, there's that same fear of the Lord, awe of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't come flippantly into His presence or just have ritual or know that we have something wrong and act like we don't and come and act like we're okay. I mean,
yeah.
Other people may not know, but God knows. And we just need to have that fear of Him in that way. And because they hid. They heard Him. He was coming to be with them. He wanted to be with them. And they hid.
because they couldn't, they didn't feel like they could be with him at that point because of what they had done.
So sin drives us away from the Lord.
Amen.
It separates.
But if we have sin, we can run to him.
Yes.
We can run to him.
Yes.
And his forgiveness is right there.
Yes.
As long as we confess it, believe it, what his blood did for us.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yes.
And also, I picked out that the Lord God was walking in the garden with them.
Yes.
And that's where the Father wants to bring us back. He wants to bring us back to that walking with him.
Yes.
To that personal,
amen,
face-to-face relationship,
right,
communication with us.
Yeah.
Something the Lord showed me, actually out of that passage, was how that right after they sinned, God didn't just pop up on the scene. I don't know. I mean, it says that, you know, in the cool of the day, he came, and of course, he says, you know, Adam, where are you? And I remember the Lord really showed something to me, me being a parent now and learning how to deal with my kids, and how that the Holy Spirit just showed me through that, that to take note that God did not show up in the heat of the day, but in the cool of the day. And I was like, okay. And I feel like the Lord began to reveal to me was that the Heavenly Father, being the example and the Father of all fathers, how that he showed how he deals with his own children, and that he did not react in the heat of the moment, but that the Father showed himself, you know, I feel like of being complex, you know, in life, we're trying to deny our flesh. Now, I'm not talking about just dealing with kids, but just our own selves. The amazing thing is that it's so easy for us to react and not be quick to respond. And there's a difference. Sometimes we respond out of just a reaction or being upset. But the amazing thing is that our Heavenly Father, when he deals within our lives, how that only he, in such a perfect way, and we see that example, that he responds in such a way that it captures your heart. Doesn't mean there's no fear of God. Doesn't mean that there's no time to go in the woodshed. But you know that it's the love of the Father that chastens and that goes after. So I was just thinking of that in the passage.
Thank God for his chastening.
I had another thought, too.
Yes.
He came. He always came every day in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a day. He came anyway.
Yes.
He's always going to come and be there for us.
Amen.
It's us who hide, or, you know, but he'll always come. He didn't miss a day.
Excellent.
I felt the Lord in the room I usually go to pray and worship and read the Word. I felt him in the room as I came in one morning. Wait for him.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
I love that.
He can be habitual, too, I think.
Yeah. Awesome.
And there's a saying out there, and I'm sure most of you heard it. It says, if you feel far from God, guess who moved?
Right.
Jeremiah 33:3, does someone have that?
Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Yeah. Great and mighty things.
Great and mighty things.
Wow. So God, he'll hide things, but he wants to get them.
Yeah.
He wants to make them.
Yeah.
The more we dig, the more we press in, he wants to get them. He wants to get more of himself. So we can ask the Father to reveal himself, that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened, Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of your call, his calling, what is the riches of the glory inheritance of the saints. In Psalm 65 says, the Lord is my portion, my inheritance, my cup. So when we ask for things, the Lord is our inheritance. And that's why I tell the Lord, I said, Jesus, you are my inheritance. I don't want buildings. I don't want a mansion in the sky. I want you. When I get to heaven, I just want you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. Okay, so some other names that we picked out, I picked out here, author and finisher of our faith. When we go into praise, whatever God means to you, whatever the Father means to you, I want you to express those expressions. But these are just some that I pulled out of my head. Alpha Omega, beginning and the end, creator of all that is seen unseen, bread of life, giver of life, redeems all things, made unto thee wisdom, my refuge, strong tower, the one whom I continue resorts. And then one more thing here. And this is talking, again, it's going to give us a visual of who Jesus is and who we are to him. So Psalms 23. Here.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So that tells Jesus' relationship to us. He wants to take us to those places where we can get refreshed. He says in righteousness and or in returning and rest shall be your righteousness, and I don't know the exact scripture, and life forevermore. There's two different scriptures that say generally the same thing, but in returning and rest, we return to the Lord and get our rest in Him. So we learn in quiet waters, He leads us, even when we're before, if we have the enemies all around us, Jesus makes a table before us.
Yes.
He anoints us, our cup overflows. Surely goodness and love follows us throughout our days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the house of the Lord was a church.
Yeah.
But the house of the Lord is with Him.
Yes, right.
We are the church.
We are.
Yeah.
About the rest, God showed me, I think I had a lesson one time on rest. The children of Israel could not enter into rest. And it's interesting that that scripture is in Hebrews in the faith chapter. They could not enter into rest because they could not trust God to take care of that. They could not cease from their own striving and their own working, and they could not still themselves. They were out in the middle of the desert. You know, there was nothing around to distract them, and yet they could not still themselves before God to bring themselves to rest in His provision, to rest in His care, to rest in what He was doing in their life. And so they could never enter into the promised land because then basically they did not trust God.
Are you referring to verse 39 of that chapter?
Yeah.
But they obtained a good report but received not the promise.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think it's further up in there. It might be in the chapter before that, actually, right before that. But it says that the children of Israel could not, I don't have my regular Bible with me, so, but the children of Israel could not enter into the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not permitted to enter into the promised land because they could not trust God. They wanted to either do it themselves or have a king that did it for them. They always had something that stood between them and God. They could not trust God. And when we have anxiety, when we have worry, and it's easy to say that when nothing's going wrong in your life. And I've had problems with anxiety during my lifetime. So, but you know, when you still yourself before God, when you're in that relationship with Him, and you're still and you're quiet and you're listening for Him, there's a complete and absolute peace. Because you know in your spirit who God is. And there's an awe and a wonder and just a perfect stillness in your spirit. And that is the rest that God wants us all to enter into.
Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the head with the rest. The issue is that only Moses was the one who had fellowship with God. And they actually deliberately said, you just go ahead to the mountain, we'll just stay here. Mm-hmm. You just tell us what to do, we'll just hear from you, from the guy behind the pulpit,
right.
But we don't want to have this kind of a fellowship. And they feared seeing Moses coming down. I mean, his face is aglow, and they're like, whoa, what is this? But the fact is, man, you know what? If you were in fellowship with God, you wouldn't have been fearful of that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, like what Terry was saying, was that you can't even enter into the rest of God. No wonder why you can't trust Him when you don't even talk to Him. You're just going by what man is, with all these supernatural activity, but man can't live by bread alone, but by every proceeding word that comes out of the mouth of God. And you need to be there to hear that, you know? And so, yeah, there is right, you know, you got to have that abiding rest when you're in that fellowship with Him. Then there's a peace, not the fear, but you got to be in that place of fellowship.
Well, that's good. Does everybody have like 20, 30 minutes yet? Are we scheduled to 8:30 or 28?
Whenever.
I think we're scheduled until we're done.
I just wanted to get the accumulation of the words so we can see where we're at here, what God looks for, what He's all about. So this is a succession and of prayer and worship. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to do this. But it also happens in worship when we're worshiping with Ben in there. So first we come through, and like Justin was saying, there is a protocol to get to the Father. So we come through His gates with thanksgiving, the Bible says. So we give up thanks. We thank God for what He's done and who He is. And the next step then, we come to the outer courts with praise. So we praise Him for who He is. We can call the different names that we saw here tonight, or things that are personal to us for who God is. And then a lot of times, this is where we stop and then we go into, oh God, you know. But if we go further, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go further.
Amen.
It's going to be a step process. So the first step, we're going to run the table here. We're all going to give our expression to God of thanksgiving and praise. Okay, we're going to do that first. Then after that, when we're done with that, then we're going to continue in. We're going to talk about the shed blood of Christ, His forgiveness, His cleansing, His healing. And that's what brings us, when they apply the blood to the altar then, that's the next step. We get closer to the Father, okay? So we're applying the blood to our own lives. And then we start to, ultimately we're going to start to adore the Father. So we're going to be totally absorbed by Him, think of nothing else but Him, enraptured in His greatness, His beauty, His love, His cleanness, His purity. We become that which we meditate, focus, and dwell on. If we meditate, focus, and dwell on evil in the world, if we focus, meditate, and dwell on this person did that to me, why can't I have this? God, why? If we focus on things, we're not going to get to His adoration, to His holy presence. We've got to focus on who He is. Holiness becomes your house, O Lord, the Word says. Mm-hmm. We are His temple. We are His house. So as we come near to Him and experience His holiness is going to dwell in our house, and we're going to become holy. Okay. We have to have intimacy with God before we can go to the next level. So the next time we get together, we're going to talk about His kingdom come, His will be done. We can't know what that is until we know who He is.
Amen.
Until we come to be His presence. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. And God entrusts His secrets of His heart to us if we're intimate with Him. That was right in our pleasures forevermore. So let's just go around and express in your own way. We'll start with Pastor Luke here. Express in your own manner praise to God. And adoration to Him and thanksgiving to Him. We're going to go around the room. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go to the next step. Okay? All right.
Oh, Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and mercy. I thank You for Your everlasting love.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank You.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Father, I just thank You that You're always there, that I can always come to You at any time, and I know that You hear me when I speak to You, Lord, and You always answer me. And Father, I thank You that You're my provider, my healer. You're my all in all. You're my rock, Lord God.
Yes,
and I can trust in You.
Thanks.
Lord, even in my sin, You still continue to love me, Lord Jesus. And I know who You are. I know how great You are, oh God.
Yes.
And I will ever, ever love and give glory to Your name, oh Lord.
Praise
Jesus' name.
Josh, want to pray? Go ahead.
No.
No? Okay.
Lord Jesus, I just thank You that in the quietness and the stillness of the day, maybe in the midst of working, just a moment, maybe upon waking up or going to bed, Lord, in those still moments of the day, You are always there waiting and speaking to my heart and listening to my heart, even when I'm not praying, Lord, that your spirit is just ministering your presence day in and day out. Even when you seem far away, you're right there. And Father, I thank you for that, and I praise you, because, Lord, you are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, God. Thank you for your patience, Lord. You're patient, you're kind. Lord, you don't envy, you don't boast. And all these things, Lord, you are the Almighty God. You're Elohim. You're the maker of all the earth, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom stands above every power, every living soul. Your love is like the light ever true, Lord Jesus, that shines over us all. I thank you. God, you are truly an Almighty God. An Almighty God. And you're everlasting. And those things, Lord God, they're so above even my own understanding. But Lord, because of who you are, Lord, I'm thankful that those things, Lord Jesus, Lord, you share in your own existence, Lord, with just even your children here. And we thank you, Father, that we can be a part of your life and not be a separate life, but your life that you've given, that we can live with you, Lord Jesus, in your eternal kingdom. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, that you're mindful. Lord, my husband is there with you. He has it made. But we're still here on this earth. And in all the things that happen, Lord, you're mindful of what our souls need. And I want to thank you for the laughter of the children of the new family that we just crossed the street, that just rings out throughout the whole neighborhood, the whole evening long, that feeds my soul. And for being able to sit on the back porch with the chocolate ice cream cones and watch the fireflies dance and watch the bunnies and the squirrels and the birds and know that you created all this and feed my soul, because we're still here on this planet. And Lord, as you feed my soul, I'm a happier person. And I feel more in tune with you. I felt like you were sitting there with me a couple nights ago when that happened, Lord. And thank you for air conditioning in our cars and houses and things to make it
thank
easier
you,
as we do the things we need to do here, Lord Jesus, so that we can actually survive and do things, Lord, and not be all wrung out. And I thank you for all those things, Lord, for providing all those things to help lift us up so we can lift you up, Lord, in Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that you are my peace and that you have broken down every wall.
Yes.
And that you enable us to have a picnic in the middle of the battlefield, because we are at peace with you, and we praise you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your provision, yes. Lord. May you bless each and every one of us, Lord, in a way. Show us your presence. All more present than we've known before, Lord. Just reveal yourself, Lord.
Yes.
Give us peace, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thou art worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power and might, riches and blessing and majesty. By your word the heavens have been made, and all that's on the earth you made it, Lord. By your word, Lord Jesus, you are the word of God become flesh. You are the resurrected living Son of the living God.
Yes.
So just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your blessings upon your church, Lord. But Lord, your blessings upon each individual in that church, Lord. It's just hard to understand, Lord, how you said in your word, he has begun a good work in you, Lord. So that could be singular or plural. And so we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us, Lord. It only comes through salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for you, Lord Jesus, your sacrifice, never to be done again, and absolutely without price. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are at the right hand of the Father right now. And you said, have no anxiety about anything. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Glorious say, O number. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, for being almighty. Thank you for being there to give strength
yes
to the people that hurt. the kindness, the love that you breed upon us.
Yes.
Thank you for giving me the courage and strength to wake up every day, to be able to praise you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yes.
you for all you do. I give you my love. I give you everything. You are God Almighty to me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship tonight. I'm thankful that you give me your spirit to keep me going every day, for making me stronger. I am thankful for all that you do for us. Gives us the peace. I hear you talking to me. I feel your spirit in my heart, Lord. I'm very thankful for your everything you do, everything you provide for. I know everything is in your time, on your time,
yes.
in your control, Lord, and I lean on that every day. Thank you for allowing me to build the strength that I need to get through the hard days, the hard times, the difficult times, and allow me to pray for those who need it the most. I pray, Lord, you grab hold of those, the hearts, the family that affect us, me personally, but all those around us that need you, Lord. I pray you work in those hearts, make them stronger, and that they come to you, Lord, as I have come to you.
Yes.
Father, you, Lord, first loved us before we even knew about you. Father God, you sought us before we even had any inkling to seek your face.
Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God, for seeing beyond, Lord, what we could have seen of ourselves. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Lord, to not only pay a price, but God, to be the very example that we are to follow after, to be conformed into, that we may be even more pleasing unto you, Lord. Thank you for making a way, Lord, where there seems to have been no way.
Mm.
Father, even the very areas of our lives, Father God, where we feel, Lord, it's very quick to be anxious, but Lord, yet you said, be anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you even said not to worry about tomorrow, worry about itself. We thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, for being the inhabitants of peace, the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, you've given of yourself. You said, my peace I give unto you, my joy, that my joy might be filled in you. And Lord, I also thank you. Father, we thank you. Father God, the only thing that you said you would build, the only concern, you said, I'm building my people, my church, the nation of God, of the people. Father, you said the gates of hell shall not prevail against death itself. Can't have its grip upon that which you're building. So, Lord, we just ask you, Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us. But, Lord, help us, Father God, to get with the building program. Father God, build us, create us, mold us.
Yes.
Father, may we forsake, Lord, even old blueprints for the new blueprints, Father God. May we forsake old glory for new glory, as you bring us from glory to glory.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are raising up a people, Lord God, who would seek you unhindered. Father God, to such an extent that, Lord, that even keeping a clock of time, Father God, would just fade from our minds because, Lord, we're so entrenched in fellowship and love with you. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father God, that's within us. Lord, may we never grieve him. But, Lord God, we receive more and more. May we release more of your Spirit through our lives, oh God, and be led by the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Which your word says is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of truth. So, Father God, may we seek your truth. Your word says, God, that we shall know the truth, and that the truth will make us free.
Yes.
So, Father God, may we not just commit truth, Lord God, just to our intellect, but God, may we come into the byproduct of what truth can offer, and that's true freedom and liberation. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God,
for giving this unto us, and thank you for your mindfulness. Lord God, as David says, who am I that you're mindful of me? And Father God, you're mindful of us and of others. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or as the song says, as I survey the cross, Lord, it always goes back to that verse. You made the big sacrifice because Father God loves us so much. He wants us to come back to that fellowship with him. We can't do it on our own. We're lost, Lord. Our hearts are like filthy rags, Lord. We try to do it on our own. It's prideful, God. So, but Lord Jesus, we thank you. You've taken our pride on the cross, Lord. You've taken our sins on the cross, Lord God. You've taken our fears on the cross. You've taken our sicknesses on the cross, Jesus. You've taken everything that the enemy has held against us. You've taken all legal authority of the enemy on the cross. It's nailed there. You shed your blood. You received your blood, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
For the cleansing of washing of receive all
your blood,
sins,
Lord Jesus.
Yesterday, today, and forever,
oh God,
we thank you for your precious blood, Jesus. We
thank
you by your stripes, we thank you that we were crucified with Christ, and we died and were buried, Jesus. Thank you. That is buried. Legality of the enemy is buried, and so he has no more legality over us. And we're raised with newness of life with you, Jesus. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Holy Spirit showed me as we're praying, we're going to go on to the next step. If you feel you have to go ahead, but be very quiet. That as a father deals with his children all differently as a mother, we don't treat our children all the same, and we have each one is different character. So we use our fatherhood or motherhood for that character of that child to benefit them. And that's how the Father is for us. We all can't be like each other, and we're not to be that way. God responds to each one of us differently. So I just wanted to show you that he responds as a father does and mother does to his children. So the next step we're going to go into is actual worship. I'm going to play this song. It's called When I Look Into His Holiness. So we're going to focus on Jesus, okay? We're not going to focus on our problems. We're just going to focus on him. And we're going to sing this through twice. And then this is the adoration part. We're adoring the Lord. And then when we're done with this, I'm just going to play some soft music, and I just want everybody just to be quiet, not to say a word. There's going to be no prophecies over anybody. It's all going to be the Father speaking to you personally.
Amen.
So open up and allow God, He's big God, He can reveal things to you, He can show you things, He can reveal Himself to you, He can give you images of Himself, He can show you whatever. We're not going to limit God tonight, what He's going to do. The Holy Spirit is going to do something, and He can touch your body also.